Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. We're focused today on the fifth chapter of Romans, the 11th verse. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I don't want to go back over all of the reconciliation work that we've did over the last few podcasts, but I want to focus on that phrase from the front half of the verse. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an element of this entire reconciliation process that I think it goes without saying we should rejoice over, but we should look at it through the lens of the reader of the book of Romans in the day it was written. And this is to predominantly a Jewish audience who has the background of Moses, the background of, dare we say, legalism, and they are now rejoicing that they've been reconciled, or at least that's what Paul's encouraging them to do. Rejoice that they've been reconciled, because that reconciliation denotes there's no more distance. And the law is all about accenting the distance between the attempted law keeper and the holy law giver, God giving the law, man receiving the law, man receiving it and then being unable to keep it, and thus feeling a separation and the perpetual need to be reconciled. And so if reconciliation then becomes a declared fact based upon the finished work of Christ, Paul encourages his audience to rejoice in the Lord, which they would naturally do because there's now no separation. And Paul's on his way to that very declaration, which he will make at the end of the eighth chapter. It's quite a ways down the road. But I want to show you the mentality of this Christian who has a Jewish background, who is learning to rejoice in the fact of reconciliation. Let's take a look at why they should be rejoicing. Paul says it this way in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now you and I, as Gentile believers in Christ, were never actually under the law. So Paul is specifically saying that Christ came born under the law to redeem those who were also born under the law, to give them something. And that which they've been given at the end of Galatians 4:5 is the adoption of sons. The beginning of Galatians 4, the first two or three verses, tell the reader that they were, when they were under Moses, they were servants. And now that they are in Christ, they are sons. And I think you could put an equals mark between the phrase reconciled and sons. Reconciled equals sons, because the son has a level of reconciliation that the slave can never expect to have. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I don't know that I can emphasize enough the powerful importance of Galatians 4:7. You are no longer a slave, you are a son. And if you can just reconcile yourself to that knowledge, then you can be realize that you're an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, I'm reading on verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days, months, seasons, years. I'm afraid for you, lest I've labored for you in vain. We'll stop there. This is incredible. He says, now that you're a son, Why, after knowing God and being known by God, would you turn again to weak and beggarly elements by which you desire again to be in bondage? What is he talking about? Our natural response is he's talking about sin. Now that you know God, why would you go back to sin? But that's not the context. Because the next verse says, you observe days, months, seasons, and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I've labored in vain. Why is he worried about them? He doesn't say, you've returned to weak and beggarly elements. You're fornicators, adulterers, haters of men. I'm worried for you. No, he doesn't say that. He said, don't go back to the weak and beggarly elements, like the observance of stuff, seasons, years. Don't go back to the feast days. Don't go back to the observances. Don't go back to the natural forms of religion. I'm afraid that that's where you're going to go. In fact, when he gets to chapter 5, he opens it this way. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And then when he tries to explain what it would mean to be entangled again, which tells me they've been entangled at least once, he says in the next verse, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. So what is an again entanglement? An again entanglement is not going back to drinking. An again entanglement is going back to the performance of the law. And so Paul is saying to them, if you go back, and the author of Hebrews will actually say, if you go back, there's no more sacrifice for sin. He doesn't say if you go back, you can't be forgiven. That's how we interpret that, but that's wrong. There's nothing else to go back to, is what he's saying. And so now that you are a son, to go back to the weak and beggarly elements would be to go back to the formulas of religion. Can you see now why Paul encourages rejoicing in the Lord evermore in Romans 5? Because now that you've been reconciled, how can you not rejoice? We'll move on to the 12th verse of Romans 5 tomorrow. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you then. God bless.